This is the Millionaire Real Estate Podcast, where you'll learn the strategies and tactics you need to become a millionaire agent. Learn from top agents, brokers, team leaders, and experts in the industry who can help you on the path to success. And now, here's today's episode.
We are going to ask the question about what is going on with the NAR settlement. So right before we start, what I want to do is just kind of have one person, Michael, maybe you can just give a brief overview for people who've never heard about what happened on March 15th, The National Association of Realtors and the $418 million proposed settlement agreement. So give us an overview of that.
I'll make it very quick, right? So essentially, the first thing is that the Buyers Agency Cooperative Commission will no longer be published in MLS. That's one of the big ones. Now, the other thing is that buyer agreements are going to be required for any showings, and that is a little bit different as well. The other thing that is very applicable is that whatever the buyer's agency agreement says, then that is what the seller will pay. It's all negotiable, of course. But if you write your buyer's agency agreement up for $1 and you go and the seller has already done seller concessions for 3%, which let's say it's $10,000, you will get paid $1 if your buyer's agency agreement says $1. I just want everybody to know that. You can't go up, but you can go down. So if your buyer's agency agreement says that they're going to give you 3% and you go and it's 2.5% and you say it's okay, then you can agree to do 2.5%. So that's one major change that everybody needs to look out for. And the number one thing that we kind of need to look at is that your buyer's consultations are now, you need to list buyers like you've been listing sellers. And you need to sit down with potential buyers and do a value-laden buyer's consultation that leads to them signing a buyer's agency agreement with you. And I mean, and I'm not going to be honest with you, in Kansas, Missouri, Georgia, Florida, I should keep that to Kansas, Missouri, Georgia. Listen, this is common practice. Right. This is how we have done it since 1998. So it's not a real change for us. But I understand there's some states and some agents who have been winging it and being very hopeful that they just go show the properties and A, they don't get killed, thank God, right? And B is they get paid on the end, and because that's how the listing agent did it, right? Our buyer's agency has got to become stronger, and our buyer's agents are going to have to be stronger because they're going to have to defend their commission. So I think that's kind of here's the thing that I want is calm the hell down. Like, take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. It's business as usual until mid-July. It really is. And it might be more usual than we think after mid-July. The powers that be are going to give us two new sheets of paper, and guess what? We'll need to get those signed. I've been in this since 1998, and I'm telling you, if I can live through 2008, I know I can live through this. And it's one of those where I think the biggest thing is just take a deep breath and work on your buyer's consultation. I would also say that we're going to see more listing agents develop a stronger menu of services. I believe that they're going to offer commissions like 0, 3, 6, 7, 8, and even 10%, or at least that's what I would do. So I think that's, I mean, the other thing is NAR resolves all, they're free from all blame, which is amazing. And they also threw every $2 billion plus business and company under the bus and their employees, and which is like, listen, I'm going to stay out of the politics of this, right? But what the heck? Like, that's a really interesting move that they made, throwing some of their biggest contributors under the bus in this. And I know why they did it, but man, I've gone longer than I should on that. But I think the big thing is that right now, calm down, business as usual, hone your buyer's consultation. Hone, if you're the listing agent, hone your menu of service. If you haven't been offering a menu of services, start putting that together, right? The deal writing in 6% and going and just doing it, it's going to change. You're going to get questions.
I want to tell you, one of the reasons why I joined and I just love Canzel is that I can get 100% commission, I get revenue share, and I get stock. I am making thousands of dollars every single month in revenue share and stocks, and I now don't have to work nights and weekends on real estate anymore. You know, I've actually never been to a real estate agent's retirement party, and I want to be the first one that people are coming to at a young age. And I want to share with you some of my favorite resources. So if you go to joincanzel.com/free, there's a couple that I want you to download. One is a 20 free lead generating PDF. It's going to help you generate leads for free that you can download, as well as there's one on how to double your business. I don't want you to miss it. Go download it today. joincanzel.com/free.
So one thing I want to open up to the whole panel is, you know, I've seen some different videos out there with agents, and I don't want anyone naming names, but I listened to them and I literally was thinking in my head, did they even read the 108-page document? Because what they're saying doesn't match the document. So I'd love for us to just kind of talk about what are some of the misconceptions that people have that they think is happening that's not. I want to clarify that just a minute. Who wants to take that on?
Yeah, I'll talk about a few topics. First of all, being in Florida, I do use a buyer brokerage agreement. It's required for all of our agents. I've been doing it for 6 years. And I love the fact that NAR put that in there, that it's going to be required nationally, because it's going to be so much easier to get it signed. And, you know, it's going to spell out in there that you can't double dip. So if a seller is still offering out the commission, then you can't also collect a commission from a buyer. So we don't have to worry about the double dipping.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to have workarounds. You can still represent the seller. And if the buyer doesn't have an agent and they come to you, but they don't want to hire you as the agent, set a flat fee of what you're going to charge them. It doesn't have to be a percentage. Just say, hey, I'm going to charge you this amount to do all the paperwork for you. And what I'm seeing here is right now, since Friday, we are being flooded with buyers. Buyers are scared. And I have a listing that hasn't had showings in 5 months, had 3 showings already since Friday. So they're scared. So ride that gravy train right now, because we need to take advantage of that.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I'd say another interesting topic is the part of the proposed changes that the Realtor Association will be forced to decouple the MLSs from the Realtor Association memberships. And you know, as Michael just said, some people may be very unhappy with NAR. What is this going to do to overall memberships across the nation? You know, once you don't have to be a part of the MLS in that area to, you know, or be a member of Realtor in order to be a member of the MLS, how's that going to change the whole landscape of the Realtor Association? And then also the change that was proposed that the commission won't be able to be listed on the MLS, but it will seemingly be able to be listed on the listing brokerage's website. And I believe...
Let me read that, because
sure.
I want to read that exactly, because it says, Rule 5 says, the parties agree not to create, facilitate, or support any non-MLS mechanism for the purpose of listing brokers. And then there's also another portion in Rule 13 where you're talking about, it's saying that we're not being prevented from an offer of compensation off the MLS. So if you, like you said, if you go to the individual brokers are allowed to put it on their own website. So expand on that.
So then my imagination starts running on what are the implications of that. And I think the implications of that are that either one of the big consumer players like Zillow, I'll use as an example, or some new software is going to attempt to gather all that data and put it in one place, right? Like Zillow automatically captures all the information from the MLS right now, right? And obviously they've been very successful in gaining eyeballs through that method. If they also add to their offerings is to search all the brokerage's website and include the commission there, well, somebody's going to capture a lot of eyeballs for being the only place that captures the MLS data and the commission offering in one place. And I would say that that's going to happen, and then it really is going to be, what was the point of the whole thing? You just shifted it from the MLS to some consumer site, right? So I think that the DOJ, you know, maybe they have good things at heart, but what's a substantive change are they going to really make here? I don't know.
Expires in 7 years too, John. The whole thing expires. The whole settlement proposal expires in 7 years as well. Like right. The methodology of it not being an MLS, there's a 7-year ending on it, and it's just like why did they even put that in there? Like
like you said, like let's stay away from the politics, but it almost leads back there inevitably in every conversation as to what's really going on here. I don't want to really dive into that either, but it's interesting to think about.
The other, that is a big thing, is how are you as a listing agent going to communicate the commission, the buyer's agent, or the seller concessions towards the buyer is actually a more accurate way to put that.
My understanding is I'm just going to be flooded with emails, right? Like everybody who wants to show my property is going to say, can I show the property on Wednesday between 9 and 11? And what commission are you offering? It's just going to be an extra question that I field in my, can I show the property question?
Yeah.
I think for those places with showing time, I think those people that showing time, I think showing time might be a short-term solution, but it is one of those that it is, how are you going to communicate what you're doing with that to the
potential? And if those end up being what happens, right? I just respond to the text or the email with the answer to that, or it shows up on showing time, or it shows up on Zillow. How substantial of a change have we made to for the consumer? Not much, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it's important because some of you might be thinking, okay, well, I can just, since we don't have a field in our MLS anymore, I can just put the buyer's compensation or the other agent's compensation and agent in the firm remarks, and you cannot, like none of that.
Or on MLS.
Yeah, so it's important to remember that. They have made a few rules on that, but this third-party way of showing it is really going to, I think, either be someone's new business or Zillow's really going to capitalize.
I saw a really funny thing on social media the other day where someone drafted a set of comments about a property and they capitalized the words 3%, included in other words. And I thought that was hilarious.
In the additional terms and conditions,
Well, we also have Ryan Ramstead, our legal consultant. So, Ryan, I'd love for you to chime in legally, kind of some things that you've thought about that's going on with this whole NAR thing.
Yes. Yeah, so you can, there's a place on the new contract where you can have your client initial that says, hey, I'm only going to show you properties that match my commission being paid by the seller. So as long as your client initials that, then if someone says, I'm not going to pay the buyer's agent anything, then you can just leave those out. So I guess the question is, how do I get that information? It sounds like you guys have already brainstormed how that can be present without, violating the new ruling. But this is the most important thing from a legal perspective, is just having to make sure all the documents, all the contracts are filled out completely and accurately. They can be kind of confusing. And the sales contract, the rent contract, that's what's ultimately going to control from our perspective. So if you don't fill it out properly and there might be a situation where an agent doesn't get paid. And obviously we don't want that to happen to anybody, but we're beholden to the contract, as y'all know. So I think that's just the important thing to focus on that. Obviously VA buyers, you know, they're not going to be able to have their agent pay for the.
That's a good point. So what would the workaround, or is there a workaround? Because VA makes it very clear that the buyers cannot pay for that. What is the solution for that? That's a big question.
There is none right now. I mean, we're going to have to wait to hear what the VA says. And I mean, honestly, also what Fannie and Freddie say about how this is going to be handled from a mortgage perspective.
Can lenders contribute? You know, that's going to be the next thing. Can lenders somehow contribute to commissions?
Can you finance a buyer's commission, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been doing it. They've been doing it for years, but now it's going to have to be more explicit that can they roll that into the, it'll be rolled on the top instead of rolled in to be included. And can that change appraisals? Can that, you know, will that raise high prices, which makes homes even less affordable, less eligible for the FHA and VA buyers, who this really hurts, in my opinion, in a big way.
It's going to hurt the VA buyers the worst, absolutely. And you know, the implications of this for sort of different market conditions. We've been in a seller's market for a while, and it's really interesting in this environment where, okay, a seller can now avoid, like, we were all doing business back when sellers always paid the buyer's commission. Sellers always paid the buyer's closing costs. Buyers were a little bit more in the driver's seat. Closing costs have gone away. Commissions have gone away. Imagine in the future where it skews again in a buyer's market. I don't even think we'd really be talking about this, because sellers are going to be hard. It's going to be hard to find a buyer like it used to be. And of course you're going to offer a commission in that environment. In this environment, it's a more interesting conversation, right? Sellers are going to pay less and less things. But when the market shifts again, this will be a less critical conversation, I think.
Yeah, there's been talk in the chat window about some ethics violation on what Ryan said with the check mark for the not showing properties where the commission is not being paid. That used to be an ethics violation somewhat, but you have to realize in this case, it's the buyer choosing, and the buyer is making the decision to not see properties where now they're going to have to pay the difference or pay something. Whereas before, it was all linked to what the seller was offering as a commission. So if I'm a buyer, I'm going to opt out of having to pay my buyer's agent commission when I can. Let's see all those homes first. And then if I'm desperate, then I'll go to where I may have to make up the difference. And then after that, then I'll go to where I need to pay my agent. And that's what I would do, because I think that just makes the most financial sense. So that's what was talked about there, Scott, Susan, and a few of you. I know you were commenting on that. It is not an ethics violation anymore if the buyer is choosing. So,
an important part of the buyer representation agreement is the buyer's authorization to allow you to filter properties based on commission. As we just talked about, though, that won't be able to be done through the MLS. So that will be done through, they send you a list of 10 properties they like, you call all 10 and ask the question, what's the commission? You narrow it down to 3, and now you plan around the showings for those 3. But you better have in writing that the buyer has authorized you to filter in that way, and that's the important piece of that will be a fundamental part of the new buyer representation agreement, I think, to keep agents out of trouble for making their own decisions on what to filter in that regard.
Yeah. Basically, do you want all your money to go to the down payment, or do you want some of it to go to the down payment and some of it to go to me?
And we're already in a low demand environment with interest rates as high as they are, prices as high as they are. I mean, this hurts demand further, right? And if there is no spike in supply, all markets are supply and demand dynamics. We could be looking at a really interesting marketplace with extremely low supply and extremely low demand for the foreseeable future.
All right. I think remember, too, that this still has to go before a judge. This isn't the only settlement out there. And if you guys haven't read the Department of Justice's settlement, that is scary. They are actually, even though we're not allowed to set commissions, they're putting a set commission in for us. So
that could be interesting. Where's that at? Can you send me the link on that?
I haven't read
that. Give us an overview of that, please, Deborah, just a quick one, and then wrap up because we're out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was on a Florida Realtors meeting, and they shared with us that the Department of Justice has proposed that buyer's agents get a set, and we can say this because it's out in writing, a set 2% and nothing more. So they're wanting to set our commissions, which is completely opposite of what antitrust laws are. So that's the real kicker. And
we did this thing to avoid price fixing, and now we're going to fix the price to it all. I love it. We're not going to talk about politics, thankfully.
You guys want something funny on that? Is that out of all the high-ticket asset sales positions in the world, like if you sell a plane, you get 10%. If you're an auction house and you go and sell your house through an auction or a car through an auction, it can be up to 25% buyer's premium. If you go to commercial, it's 7%, 8%, or 10%. I'm ready to switch to commercial.
And how about attorneys? No, I mean, no offense, Ryan, but when's this coming down on attorneys?
Ryan, I've got a great idea for you. You be the attorney who is strong enough to sue class action attorneys. and there is a lawsuit there waiting to happen. Like all those little people get $100 and they get $30 million. It's like there's it doesn't seem legal, but there's no lawyer.
It wasn't even clients that started this lawsuit. It was an attorney that started the lawsuit. He went out fishing for people and convinced them they got screwed and created a class action suit. So it was an attorney behind the entire thing.
Are you talking about Catchmark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing, where they started it out. You know?
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up here. We are going to do something where we always end our meetings with gratitude because we believe there is nothing better than just being grateful. And so I'm going to now just open up the floor for anyone, and you can just raise your hand on something that you are very grateful for today. So does anyone want to start?
Yeah, so I'm grateful for Canzell Realty. Since I'm unmuted, I'll go ahead and speak. I've actually loved every minute of being with the company. I came on 4 years ago when one of my agents moved to Virginia Beach and introduced me to Chantel and Heather, and how awesome things have been since. They are always there for any of our questions, and they've helped take a huge burden off of my back. So I no longer have to do 1099s and pay all of my agent E&O. So I've enjoyed my time here.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. Who else wants to say? I think it can be about anything. Anything that you're grateful for today. We'll just have a few people mention.
I'll jump in. Hey, this is Justin, Circle Leader in Montana. And like while we're talking about this NAR thing, it actually makes me excited because I like being a change agent. And Canzell allows me to be a change agent, right? I'm part of a national brokerage that has 100,000 agents. I can't affect that brokerage, right? But I have direct access to you. I have direct access to Heather. I have direct access. Now I get to speak to Michael. Super excited people that are powerful in it. So here, me, little old agent in Montana, now can affect the real estate industry as a whole with Canzell, rather than just be a number, go to work, and freak out about how I'm going to pay my bills. Awesome. And Canzell allowed me to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin.
All right, I've got to go, Chantel. I'll be saying,
You can end by what are you grateful for today?
Oh, my gosh. The list of things I'm appreciative for. I am appreciative of you as a leader in this industry. And look how much you've given this industry over the years. And you're the queen of real estate in my books. You just literally carry yourself with so much class. And you are, you know, I noticed Huntley or somebody said, Tara Hart, hi Tara, love you, said that, you know, Michael's being a lighthouse in the industry. And Chantel, you are a ray of light and a lighthouse in this industry. And I'm just appreciative of all the value you continue to bring on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, and and through your career. You've been awesome. I'm so blessed that Howie Brinton connected me and you many years ago with the Star Power. So
yes,
well, somehow you get better looking and somehow I just get older. So
okay. You have been such a blessing to my life, and we'll just go ahead and wrap up here. We're just so grateful for all of you guys being here. We want to be respectful of your time, and you guys are welcome to join every Tuesday. This is an open forum. You're able to join 12 noon on Eastern time. We'd love for you to join then. Thank you guys for being with us.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a rating and a review so we can get this out to more agents. And tune in next week for another power-packed episode. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Podcast.